Today's title will be Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3. The Bible uses several metaphors to describe our life of faith. For example, the analogy of warfare. The Old Testament is replete with them. The war between Joshua and the Amalekites, the conquest of poverty, Samson and the Philistine army, the 300 men of the prayer house and the great army, David and Goliath, Elijah on Mount Carmel, Paul and the priest of Ezra, 850-1, and so on and so forth. They are all emblems of the battles of faith that we have to encounter in life. In the book of Ephesians, it says, to put on the whole armor of God, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says along the line, our life of faith is like this. It's a spiritual battle against the devil. Our life is like this. If you triumph over it, you will receive authority and sovereignty over your life and receive God's blessings. And if you lose, what will happen to us? You will lose everything. You will become a slave and enslaved by the devil. Faith is a battle. It's a war. And to do that, you have to fortify your strength and strengthen yourselves and armor yourselves. And the allegory of a farmer planting his seeds, it can be drawn parallel with to sow your seed to the point of tearing up and shed your tears, the seeds of sacrifice. And right now, as you do it, you see no materialization of your labor, but at the time of harvest, it will be fruitful in abundance, and it will encompass you for you to reap. Our prayers right now and the evangelism that you are exerting yourself with, at the day of the Lord, you will reap the labors that you have put forth in this life. And lastly, our life of faith is a race. It is a long distance running. It metaphorically describes our life of faith in the Bible. Do you not know that in all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. This is faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Book of Timothy 2:4-7. Our faith is the same as running. In today's main text, compares it to the race. Chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. Our life of faith is like a race. It's the same as long distance running. Running is different than walking in comfort. It's not something you saunter forward. It's something that you have to exert your strength in. You have to expend your energy. And without that, you cannot run the race. The biblical teachings admonishes us that you have to exert your strength. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. 2 Peter 1:10, Colossians 1:29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Book of Colossians 1:29. Our life of faith. You cannot lead a life of faith in comfort. You have to exert your energy forward and labor away. Same is a case for our prayers. You have to exert yourselves when you pray. Book of Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When you pray, you don't automatically receive an answer. You have to exert yourselves. Prayer, in essence, is a spiritual battle. You have to exert yourselves when you pray. When you pray and you are victorious, then you will win. You are a winner. If you lose, you are a loser. Jesus on Mount Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times and he exhausted all of his energy. At that juncture, the victory was a foregone conclusion of fait accompli. It was inherent in the prayers, and his toiling sweat transmorphed into raindrops. To this point, he prayed. Our congregation, our convening, you have to exert yourselves. 2:46 Book of Acts. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Without exerting our energy, when you congregate, it's hard to gather. Without exerting yourself, you will be robbed of it. You will not see it. And for this, we have to expend our energy always. Our life of faith, it is like a race. You have to exert yourselves, and without that, you cannot run. In today's main text, our faith is based on that. Our life of faith is based on running. Book of Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the scriber of Book of Hebrews, at the time there was a stadium in Rome, and when they were in the competition running and the spectators were being compassing the stadium and cheer for the competitors that are running, the spectators in today's main text describes them as the witnesses, and they were innumerable like the clouds. That's how they are characterized, the people who are competing, running, and the spectators. The spectators, they were likened to the clouds, as innumerable as the clouds. The angels and the devotees up in heaven are rooting for us and cheering for us. And all of the predecessors of faith, they're all keeping vigil on our life of faith and rooting for us. And Jesus too is accompanying them, rooting for us, cheering for us to uprightly lead a life of faith. They are at the moment watching us. And as they are watching, they are rooting for us and cheering for us, telling us that you are on the righteous path. And it's okay that if you stumble and fall, it's okay. You pick yourself back up and run again. And that inherent in our effort, a great reward awaits us. They are keeping vigil on us and rooting for us. As we run, as you uphold the word in the midst of this life, at times you become lonely in the life of faith. Even inside the church, you want to be righteous and be upright and be erect in your posture of faith. But at times people will castigate you for your posture of faith, and they tell you that when you lead this upright, faithful life, there are many people that are watching you right now to root for you, cheering for you. Be mindful of this, that you are not alone. It's not a lonely race. Like the clouds, many witnesses that preceded us are watching us and rooting for us, encouraging us. They're all monitoring our life of faith, and that they will be witnesses to the life of faith when we ascend to the heavenly kingdom as we face judgment today. In this moment, we are being watched, and there are many witnesses. Be cognizant of this and be emboldened by this and empower yourself from this and go forward in running. I pray in His name that you will do so accordingly. To run adroitly gives us many advice. Let us properly assimilate the content and accordingly run forward. First advice is to adeptly run forward. All of the heavy burden, you must shed them off. Verse 1. Let us read again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. As you run the race, to do it adeptly, to be quick about it, you have to lay down the heavy burden and be free from the heavy load that encumbers you. You have to shed them off. The heavy burden here it has the connotations of entanglement. You need to move forward running, but it grabs onto your heels so that you cannot move forward. If someone holds on to your heels, you cannot run. Hence, you have to be severed away from it. There are many social gatherings that we have. They can tether you to the ground so that you cannot move forward in the life of faith. For example, the gatherings that you have with your neighborhood friends, your peers, the political moments, the various fraternity gatherings. Are they sinful? Are they bad things? No, they are not. You cannot invariably say they are all bad and sinful. At times, it has efficacy and has high utility. However, as you lead and are on the track to run the race of faith, if it hampers you, the social gatherings and activities, you must shut them off and repudiate the social gatherings and make the resolve to sever away from it. The social gatherings are so many, and because of it, if you cannot lead the life of faith and accord yourself to the words of faith, then you must shut them off. You are assiduously gathering in the social activities, but if you are indolent in the life of faith, then you must make the resolution to repudiate the social gatherings. You have to shed off the heavy burden and lighten the load so that you can aptly run forward. And the bad habits that you are habituated into repeating, watching miniseries, soap operas, for example, watching sports, spectating them. Yes, we can do that, but if the foregoing activities grab your heels and arrest you to the ground, then you have to make the resolution to start watching them. You can go and spectate baseball games, but you cannot do this as you discard the worshiping day. Then you have to cut off these activities. Yeah, you can watch soap operas once or twice and relish the viewing. But if you can't do the down prayers because of it, then you must unload the heavy burden from your shoulders. To uprightly lead the life of faith, you have to be light to the end of running adroitly. And human affection and emotions that can also tether you to the ground and progress. Saul was Samuel was sad over Saul, and because of it, it hindered his faith, and his mission was also tethered to the human affection and empathy, and God was not pleased about this and rebuked this, the empathy, emotions, and camaraderie of humanity. If these things are tethering you to the ground so that you cannot mature in faith, then you must do away with it. All of the heavy burden, you have to dispense with it. The sinful ways, if it so discordant to faith, then you have to unload them. All of the heavy burdens, there are invariably heavy burdens that is arresting your movement. Let us be vigilant on this and find them, identify them, and dispense with it so that you can uprightly lead a life of faith and the race of faith. I pray in His name. And secondly, you need patience and endurance. You have to be imparted with endurance for the joy set before Him. He endured the cross, scorning His shame, and sat down at the right hand. It's a long-distance marathon. It's a race that requires endurance. If you look at Abraham's life of faith, since the time of summoning him at the outset to the very end, it wasn't just episodic, once and twice, at interval times, but to the very end from the beginning. It's not a flash of exerting your strength and leading the life of faith, but to the very end, you have to have a good pace and be consistent in your faith. You have to finish the race. There is no need to have exponential growth in spurts and sprints, but you have to finish the race with long endurance and patience. This is what is essential in the life of faith. Why? Because only in patience you can see and finish the race. Be patient then, brothers and sisters. You must have patience to see the promise fulfilled. Abraham was promised with a son by God. Upon hearing the word, he had to endure 25 years before it was materialized. And for 25 years, he had ran the race of faith. And also, when David was anointed, he had to run for 15 years. And thereupon, he became the King of the Israelites. Until you receive the promise, you need to have patience to have the promise fulfilled. In the book of James, it describes and tells us what the life of faith is, and tells at the end what the meaning of patience is. Faith and endurance are natural concomitants when you lead the life of faith. Let us read together. Book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 to 11 verses. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Amen. The importance of endurance is repeatedly mentioned here. Promise can only be fulfilled by patience. Until your promise is fulfilled, you have to have patience and relentlessly run forward. It cannot be episodic, once or twice, intermittently, marking your life of faith. You have to be consistent in your activities and your posture. And in faith, you have to mark it with perseverance, consistently. When you start your life of faith, you sedulously commence your life of faith, but it dissipates the energy of it. You become dispirited. It's not something you flash it here and there and have it dissipate, but you have to consistently pace yourselves until you are crowned by the Lord. You have to finish the race and have patience, and you will have hardship and at times becomes tedious and face impediments. But to the very end, I pray that you will complete the race. And to uprightly lead the life of faith, you have to fix your gaze on Jesus Christ and never avert your eyes from Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As you lead your life of faith, at times you become dispirited. This is imputed to you averting your gaze from Jesus. And this is when you lose the posture of faith. For example, transfixedly gazing on people's weaknesses and things other than Jesus. And when you deviate your gaze from Jesus, you will be tested and you will deviate from the path of virtue. For example, Peter on water, as he was gazing on Jesus, he could walk on water fixedly and stably walk toward Jesus. But when did he plunge into the water? When his eyes averted from Jesus. This is when he plunged into the water. You cannot be distracted from the fixed gaze on Jesus. As you lead the life of faith, the noise encompassing you is cacophonous that could test you, hardships and encumbrances of life and impediments. But do not be distracted by those things. Always fixedly gaze on Jesus as you could plunge into the water. When you focus on people and the environment that you are encompassed in right now, you could be tested. Do not do this, but only gaze on Jesus and run the right race of faith. Jesus, he is the exact imprint of our flesh, and with that body and flesh, he embodied the sins of humanity and was torn asunder on the cross for us to absolve us for our sins. But he rejoiced in the sacrifice. Why? Because he awaited the eternal reward in the heavenly kingdom. And because of it, he could endure the shame and the potential embarrassments. He did not care, as he knew the rewards that will be rewarded to him at the right hand of God upon his death and ascension. And with that, he to the very end finished the race. And in that way, let us fixedly gaze our eyes properly. Jesus is watching us right now as we speak. And among many witnesses, he is at the top watching us, cheering for us, rooting for us to finish the race. That is Jesus Christ. foremost encourager of us. He is keeping vigil on us, monitoring us, and rooting for us. Let us be mindful of this and run the race of faith among us. Thus far, at times you become disappointed and dispirited and you deviate from the path. We have people like this. The words that you are hearing right now, I hope that you will hear it as your words that's being spoken to you. Sometimes your hearts could be desolate and be lonely from your faith, from your family members. But among many witnesses, Jesus is watching us along with other witnesses, and be cognizant of this, and that they are telling us that we are doing the right thing and are on the righteous path. Do not give up to the very end. I pray in His name that you will not give up to the very end. Our faith is not just sauntering forward leisurely. It's a long distance marathon to run. Let us unload the heavy burdens, the bad habits, and make the resolution to uprightly run the race of faith and mark it with patience and endurance. The flashes of faith and your energy are not important. To the very end, solemnly move forward with the right pace so that you can finish the race. You hear noises from your surroundings, but do not be distracted by them. Let us be fully heedful to the word of God, and to the very end, finish the race. Let us pray. Thank you.